Hi there, listeners. Welcome to episode 230 of Never on the Back Foot podcast. Virat Kohli and KL Rahul produced yet another masterclass as India kicked off the World Cup 2023 campaign with a 6-wicket win against Australia in Chennai on Sunday. KL Rahul returned with an unbeaten 97 while Kohli smashed 85 as the pair stitched a crucial 165-run stand for the 4th wicket. Now, this was after India was reduced to 2-for-3 in the second over. Riding on their efforts, India completed the 200-run chase with 9.4 overs to spare. Meanwhile, the Indian spin trio comprising of Ravindra Jadeja, Ravi Ashwin and Kuldeep Yadav helped India's cause by restricting Australia to a paltry 199 in 49.3 overs. Jadeja took 3 wickets for 28 runs, with 2 of those coming in the same over. Kuldeep took 2, while Ravi Ashwin took 1. Now, this was a comprehensive bowling performance and a morale-boosting win for Team India in trying times. This match certainly gives us a lot to talk about, and this episode will give you listeners a proper review and analysis of that match. On the podcast today, we have Sunil, an ardent cricket enthusiast from Bengaluru, joining us for this discussion. Without further ado, let's get started. Hi Sunil, welcome to Never on the Back Foot podcast. It really feels great to have a conversation with you after I've heard so much from my dad about you being such a big cricket fan. So what are your first thoughts on being here?
Thank you, Neha, first of all, for inviting me on your podcast. This is my first podcast, in fact. When I heard from your dad about your interest in cricket, I was really, very happy and surprised at the same time, because, not many girls follow a lot of cricket, right? So, and then when he used to say that, you watch a lot of cricket and then you have a podcast channel, you talk a lot on cricket, and then you have also done some video recordings, and then, your YouTube channel, which talks about cricket. So that is really good, Neha. So keep it up, keep it going. And I'm happy to be a part of this podcast. I would love to contribute in whatever way possible, because the passion towards this game has been there since my childhood. And I used to play a lot of cricket. I used to watch a lot of cricket, but now with work, it has come down. But then, yes, I am following the 2023 Cricket World Cup.
Thank you so much for those kind words of support. And looking at this World Cup too, now India started their campaign on the perfect note, right? Registering this comprehensive win against Australia. So to kickstart our discussion, what are your first thoughts on that win and reactions?
The first match against Australia was really good. So Chepauk was the venue, and then Chepauk has historically been a two-paced wicket, right? So I think the weather also plays a lot of importance there. And then losing the toss, I thought that maybe India might bat, but I was also kind of surprised about what Pat Cummins was thinking. Maybe I think when I was watching the toss, I thought that he was kind of looking at the sky because it was hot. And then due to that, I thought that he wanted to give their bowlers a rest so that, they can come and then bowl in the evening. So I think that is where I felt, it kind of worked out in our favor. And then, of course, we had Virat and KL. I think this time we have a strong middle order backed by a good top order. Of course, Shubman Gill was not available. But then, and then we have Ishan Kishan replacing him. I thought that we had good batting until number 7 or number 8, and also I think the team combination this time was really good. In fact, playing Ashwin was very critical there, I think. So all these factors about the team composition and the way they played, right? So the way they bowled, it was really good. And then losing wickets initially kind of jolted, but then I think the middle order really backed us up.
Absolutely, and some brilliant points you bring in that we will discuss through the course of our episode as well. But even looking at the Chepauk surface, right, it has been notorious for being like spin friendly, and we have seen CSK, you know, win some amazing contests on this surface. So, what were your thoughts on Chepauk and, you know, playing against a tricky opposition like Australia here?
See, historically, Australia has been very dominant playing everywhere across the world. In fact, in India as well. So they have really played well. They have won, Champions Trophy. They have won, many, many, many bilateral tournaments, right? So, and then Australia always have been a very strong opposition. So right from their batting, their and also their bowling and the fielding. So it has been really good. If you look at the teams that has played against India every year, or let's say even if you trace back to 90s or late 90s, right? So they have been really good. And then winning a game against Australia in the World Cup is really a morale booster, right? So in fact, I mean, if we had started our campaign against a maybe a weaker opposition, I would have thought, okay, this was expected. But then I thought the team that they had, right? So opening with Warner and Marsh, and then you had Smith, and then you had Manus Labuschagne, and then the middle order and Maxwell, and you had Carey and Green as well. So Green has been in exceptional form of late. So and Marsh, and then most of their players, in fact, starting from David Warner all the way until Josh Hazlewood, they have played a lot of IPL in India, and they know the pitches very well. They know the conditions here very well. So they know how it really plays out. So I think winning against them, because if you look at the IPL factor, most of the nations, and right, so have played IPL in India, and then I mean, except Pakistan though, but then they really know how it plays. So I think this win was, it was really very good.
Fair enough. And even looking at Team India's bowling effort, right, it was simply amazing. I mean, later we had Jadeja come in and wreak havoc with Australia's batting. But I think somewhere it was Bumrah, you know, who really set the ball rolling to ensure that India was in that comfortable position. So how would you assess India's bowling performance?
So I think the build-up to this World Cup was more about bowling. In fact, I mean, this is what I consider apart from batting, because if you look at last year's T20 World Cup, right? So where we played in Australia, I think we missed Bumrah badly, so we did not have a good bowling lineup, right? So we had Bhuvneshwar Kumar and then Ashdeep Singh. I thought we were lacking a good frontline bowler. So we were always, I think that was one factor where, we really did not do well. I think that is the reason why we lost against England. So I think this time, I think the team management, the leadership team, I think they really, put in a lot of emphasis on the bowling this time, and also making players available for this big tournament. So where, you wanted Bumrah, you wanted Siraj, you wanted Shami, at least three good, fast bowlers backed by Shardul, Hardik, and the spinners. So in fact, I think so. It was not surprising to me because Bumrah has been our go-to bowler for the last 4 or 5 years. So I think he really bowled well, and then backed by Siraj. Siraj is the number one ODI bowler at the moment, right? So he's been in exceptional form. So yeah, and then I mean I thought that they really bowled to their strengths. They knew what lengths to bowl, what lines to bowl. So they bowled at the right at the right areas. And then in fact, yes, as you rightly mentioned about our spin bowling, right? So spin bowling was exceptional this time. So they did not really concede runs. I think I also read a stat where Jadeja and Ashwin combined together, their economy was 3 or 3.2. I think it was not more than that. I think that was really good. So I think this, because if you look at this tournament, from the first match onwards, right, from the first game onwards, I think both the sides have, I mean, even the batting, the team batting first or the team batting second, they have been scoring a lot of runs. It has been, I think maybe the pitches have been basically, laid out to for the players to score more runs. Right. So I think whatever they did was exceptional this time.
Exactly. And to curtail a difficult team like Australia, right? Now, Warner, I think, was one who really got off to a good start, but somewhere could not capitalize. And even losing like Marsh and Labuschagne like consecutively was not ideal for Australia. But Steve Smith was impressive, you know, holding fort at one end before he was dismissed. But would you look at Australia's first innings as like a batting failure, or was it just India's bowling being too good that day?
I think both. I feel both, and also I would not look at it this as a setback to Australia because they know that they would bounce back. So and yes, as I said earlier, right? So they know the pitches very well. They know the conditions well here. So as you said, Warner started off really well, and then I think Marsh, the way Marsh got out, he got out on a good delivery. It was not that it was a bad ball, and then he played a bad shot. It was a very good ball, and then and then I thought that I think they somewhere relied more on Labuschagne and then Maxwell and others and then the middle order to carry forward. But then I think somewhere they did not apply themselves very well. And also at the same time, our bowling was really very good, or I can say much much better. Our middle overs. It was really good. So I think our spinners did a great job in containing the runs and then taking wickets.
Another major talking point has to be that of how Mitchell Starc came in the end, you know, to save face, to ensure at least Australia had 199 on board. But then the biggest talking point here has to be about how the Indian bowling has been slacking off and kind of can get complacent in that phase of play where they know they're in a comfortable position and they don't put that pressure. Do you see this as a concerning trend? Because we've seen this in Test cricket happening very often, not being able to get the tail out as fast. Do you see this creeping in even in the limited overs format?
Not really. I mean, yeah, not really, because Stark played well. So he, as a tail-ender, he came, he slogged, and then he scored some good runs, which was very vital to the team. At the same time, right, I really don't see that happening. I mean, I don't see that coming. In fact, in the in the coming matches, I also believe that the team management also knows that where they have gone wrong in the past. So where are the what are the areas that they have to work on? So I think these are certain things which will definitely play in their minds. So I believe that they'll be mindful of the fact that when the tail-enders come in, right? So they will really go for runs. I think most of the pitches are now suited to score big. So I believe that our team will be definitely, or the bowlers will be definitely be very mindful of the fact that they should not be giving runs.
I mean, yeah, that's a fair point. Although it was a near perfect win for India, this was one area that really stood out. And chasing 199 really shouldn't have felt that hard. But looking at India's batting, now Ishan Kishan missed that golden chance, you know, to shine because he was coming in the place of Shubman Gill. And getting out for a duck was again far from ideal. Do you think it's too soon to judge him and just write him off? Because we know the kind of player he is. We've seen him in the IPL as well. In domestics and even in the limited India opportunities he's got. So, what did you make of that dismissal, and was there pressure playing in somewhere?
No, I don't see it as a pressure. I thought that he played a bad shot. That's all I can make out of, because it was not the ball. I mean, basically, it was not the shot. He was supposed to play, so maybe he would have left it. So because it being the first ball, and then the target was also not that big, right? It was just 200 runs. So knowing that, we had our depth in the knowing the depth in our batting, so he could have just waited, and then he could have scored runs later on. So so he should be very mindful of the fact that he should not be playing such rash shots in the future. And also another news that Gill will not be playing next match. So he's still recovering, and then he may be available for Pakistan clash. So having said that, it is a good opportunity for Ishan Kishan to again prove his worth. So this is what I can think of at the moment. And yeah, I think that is how I would see Ishan's performance. And if you really want to mention more even about Shreyas Iyer, right? I think Shreyas Iyer should have applied a little more little more mind well when getting out that way. So this should not have happened. So that is what I can think of both on Ishan and then Shreyas Iyer.
Actually, I was just going to get to that point because the next wickets that fell were Rohit Sharma and Shreyas Iyer, and both of them got out for ducks. Now, India was obviously digging a hole so deep that coming out really seemed impossible, you know, giving a lot of us flashbacks of that 2019 ODI World Cup semi-final as well. So, did you also think that the match was done and dusted because, you know, losing these 3 wickets so soon in tough conditions really meant end of game?
No, I mean, as they say, right, it is not over until it's over. So I was still hopeful until Hardik or Jadeja gets out. So and we always knew that there would be Virat and then KL to back us and then take us all through the finishing line. So I was always hopeful that we have seen that in the past, right? So our middle order this time is very strong. I think they have covered all the bases. So if you look at 2019 World Cup to 2023 World Cup, I think number 4 or number 5 was the batting slot where we had that link which was missing. So Rahul used to open, and then we did not know whom to place at number 4. So we tried out multiple options, but then that did not work. I think this time Rahul has come down, and then so I think we have that backbone right now. So that entire link is kind of placed. So this is what I can make out of. So even if we lose three quick wickets early, so we saw that happen in the past during our clash with New Zealand, right? The 2019 semi-final where we lost three quick wickets, and then the entire batting unit collapsed until there was some recovery when Dhoni and Jadeja batted together. So I'm hopeful that I think this time around, so even if we lose two three quick wickets, we have our middle order backing us. So, starting with Virat until Shardul, maybe if he's in number 11, if he's batting, I mean, if he's in the team, it should be fine. So we have until 8, our batting until 8. So I think that should be fine.
Absolutely. I think this time the batting is looking much more formidable. And, you know, there is this trend that we see with the moving ball that the openers usually face. But that's where KL Rahul and Virat Kohli really stabilized the ship. They played that slow game, stitched that unbelievable partnership as well. So, what did you make of it? Because both of them were not playing their conventional style. You know, they were just trying to anchor the innings and just see where it goes. So, what were your takeaways from that partnership?
Yeah, it was really important that they had to play out that initial few overs. So they wanted to, because we really wanted to get accustomed to the way the ball used to swing and whatever the lines and lengths that they were hitting. So if even an inch of mistake, right? So we could have lost Virat or Rahul, correct? But then I think whatever shots that they played, that waiting game, that was much needed, in fact. We had to stabilize at least, we had to be stabilized for at least 5 6 overs, and then even if you go for shots, we'll be able to carry it forward. So I think this is what I would take off. And then another thing is that the ball was swinging, in fact, right? For the first few overs, the ball was swinging, the ball was new, ball was hard. So we were able to see that. So and Chepauk really plays. The pitch really plays. So I think it was very much important that they had to stay on and then be patient and then wait for the right ball, where you can score runs.
And that's where I think we should give due credit to even Mitchell Starc and Josh Hazlewood. Now, they are obviously this lethal bowling combination for Australia, and they really helped, you know, put that pressure. So, are you excited to see them through the World Cup as well on the back of this performance?
Yes, of course, of course. They are world-class bowlers, right? So Mitchell Starc was the number one bowler, I think, in 2015 World Cup. I think he was a leading, wicket taker, and I think he was a player of the tournament, right? And Josh Hazlewood, I think of late he's been bowling Test match length, Test match line, and even in T20s, and he's been fairly successful. I mean, I don't say, I mean, I would should, should not have used the word fairly, but he has been largely successful, right? So I think I definitely see them doing well in this competition. So with the line and lengths that they hit, Mitchell Starc is known for his pace and the Yorkers that he bowls, and then Josh Hazlewood is known for his lengths and the swing that he gets. So they will be definitely doing well.
another concerning trend for Australia has to be how Adam Zampa, you know, could not make a lot of impact. Even in the lead up to the World Cup in the series against India, we saw him being very lackluster. And a lot of pressure then falls on your part-time bowler, Glenn Maxwell. And in spite of, you know, the wicket offering some assistance, they could not really break the partnership between Kohli and Rahul. And I think that's where the game was pretty much done for Australia. Now, do you think Australia is like missing a proper spinner, considering Ashton Agar is ruled out? And somewhere in the tournament, do you think they might slot in another spinner in Tanvir Sangha, or, you know, just try to experiment with still Adam Zampa and give Maxwell more overs?
Yes. So basically, if you look at the Australian team historically, right? So for the last 10 years, so they really do not have a frontline spinner in their ODI lineup. So they had Nathan Lyon as their only spinner for test matches, but not for ODIs, right? So they were mostly relying on Adam Zampa when it comes to subcontinent conditions. But otherwise, they really do not have a spinner like Jadeja or Ashwin that we have here, or even many other, even Shadab Khan or any other spinner, maybe like, you know, you have Mahesh Tikshana of Sri Lanka and then Hasaranga of Sri Lanka, right? So they really do not have such options. And also Adam Zampa has been fairly successful. I think he has been taken taken Kohli's wicket a few times, not really successful with others. So I think a lot of help can be, you know, generated by leveraging Maxwell. This is what I think of. And then I don't think they will make a change, with their spin bowling options. I think maybe if the conditions are quite different, so I feel they might go with Marcus Stoinis, Cameron Green, and then Maxwell playing in the middle order. I think that would make their playing 11. And I don't see Adam Zampa really having much of an impact in this competition this time.
Right. And although, you know, through this episode, we have looked at factors that worked and didn't work for India and Australia. What are some of the positives that Team India can actually take from this match and move on to the next one? Now, tomorrow we square off against Afghanistan in another crucial encounter, right? So how do you look at it?
Every game is very important in this competition, right? So even if it's Afghanistan or it is Australia. So it is really important that we play to our strengths, and then we have to hit peak at the right time. So if you look at the first match, right, so our top order failed, and then our middle order clicked. So we need to make sure that, basically this is for Team India to make sure that their top order clicks tomorrow. So, and then, you know, our middle order builds, and then we have our bowlers covering it for us. So this is how I look at. So even if you look at 2011 or the teams that have won the World Cup in the past, so be it 96 World Cup or 99, even it's okay. I think 99 and 2011 are the best case example, I can say, because 2003 and 2007 has been dominantly, it has been dominated by Australia throughout the tournament. I don't see that, you know, they really faltered somewhere, or they, you know, it's not that they hit the peak at the right time. They were at their peak. They were at their best. So I think 99 World Cup is when I think Australia did not really start well. They lost a couple of matches, and I think only at the end they started hitting peak. I mean, you know, hitting the right notes, and then their batting clicked, their bowling clicked, and Steve was very pivotal, right? And then even if you look at 2011 World Cup as well, where India won, our first match was really good. And then if you look at the clash versus England and Australia, England and South Africa, where we drew with England and then we lost against South Africa. But then again, we came back. And if you look at the players who performed, right? So Sachin was kind of performing well, but I think it was Yuvraj Singh, Gautam Gambhir, and, you know, initial part, it was Yusuf Pathan. And then from the second half of the tournament, it was Suresh Raina who really batted well. So, if you look at all these, right, put together, so our team has to hit the peak at the right time. So even if you look at the build-up to this World Cup as well, especially for Team India, so they have been playing well, but then I see that there were some missing links here and there. Maybe their number four batting or number five, some players were not available for most of the times, injuries and everything, right? So they came back. and now they have a team. So they know who is their playing 11, or let's say even who is that they will replace so and so person. So having said that, I think it is very important that they really take positives out of this. That so I think for the last match, it was KL and Virat who really batted well, and then our bowlers really did well. And we need to see how the next surf how Delhi surface looks like. I think as we see, right, so Delhi, people are scoring a lot of runs in Delhi. So we need to assess the pitch, and then we need to go with the right team accordingly. So I think so this time the top order has to click. This is what I would like to, summarize.
Right. And even Australia, right? They are one team you definitely do not want to write off. I mean, they've been five-time champions and they will come back stronger based on the trivia that you shared based on their previous World Cup performances as well. But if you could share with us, what are some of the areas that Australia would want to fix, ahead of their next few encounters, think more proactively at the toss and select the right team perhaps?
Maybe again, if I have to share a best case, basically a case study, right? So if you look at 2015 World Cup, where Australia won, so there, I this is what I kind of feel, okay? So Shane Watson was batting at number 3, and then I think Smith was batting at number 5. After a few games, Shane Watson was not really performing, but then he dropped, basically he came down. And then Steve Smith was promoted to number 3, where they batted really well. And then the team went on to win the World Cup. If you look at the same team, Australia, in 2020 T20 World Cup, where Steve Smith was batting at 3, and then you had Mitchell Marsh batting at 4 or 5, where for the initial few games, Smith did not bat well. He did not score runs. And then I think he went down the order, and then Mitchell Marsh was promoted. So I see somewhere maybe if you can. If they can kind of do the same with Marnus Labuschagne this time, I think that will help. So, and then I think opening with Mitchell Marsh is a good option for them. I feel Smith batting number 3, and then maybe Maxwell can bat number 4, and then replace Labuschagne with Stoinis, and then let Green come in, and then Carey come. So this is what I would kind of make some changes. But instead, yesterday what happened was I think they sent Carey up the order and then came in Green. So somewhere I felt that was not the right approach.
Right. I mean, they would
But
definitely, want to, rethink this combination.
right. And then their batting, they're sorry, and their bowling unit really looks settled. So I don't see much of changes, except the fact that if Adam Zampa is not really performing, maybe he could get another game. If he is not really performing, and then I believe that Maxwell can mostly do the job for them, but then they have a good batting all-rounders in the form of Green and Max and in the Green and Stoinis, right? I think that should be okay for them.
Right, and through this tournament, it will be interesting to see what will the team combination look like for Australia because they're a team that's blessed with an abundance of all-rounders. It's just about having that one spin option less, but they are a team that will definitely make up for it. And as we reach the end of our discussion as well, do you have predictions on the India-Afghanistan match that's happening tomorrow? And this is happening in Delhi. It's a big match for Team India because Afghanistan again has a beautiful spin attack that we cannot get enough of. So how are you looking at this encounter?
So the way I look at it, as Afghanistan, maybe if it was a T20 tournament, they would have made a big impact. But I think considering 50 over World Cup, I don't think this would they would really, it would really make an impact. So I feel it would be Team India all the way for tomorrow's match.
Fingers crossed for that outcome, and we do not want to see an upset this early in the tournament for Team India. And do you have any final thoughts, words of wisdom, or even a message for our listeners?
So the message that I would like to give to your listeners is that, I recommend them to watch and then listen to a lot of your podcasts, and then watch your YouTube channel to get more cricket updates. And it's been fantastic here, Neha. So I would like to collaborate with you for more of these podcasts in the coming future. And then the
Likewise.
information that you share, right? So the information that you share and the facts that you put forth, right? So that's really good, because I notice that you have watched a lot of cricket and then you have good understanding of the game. So I think this is something which is very unique, and then this is really fantastic. So keep it going.
Thank you
Best
so much,
wishes to
Sunil.
you.
Thank you. And here's hoping, you know, we can have you back on the podcast and have a lot of these fun conversations, because you really brought in some brilliant insights that our listeners will have so much to take away from. So until next time, stay safe and take care. Bye for now.
You too. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, listeners, for tuning into this episode and for your unstinted support. Please follow and press the bell icon on Spotify and subscribe to the podcast on Google Podcasts for the latest episode updates, and stay tuned. Do check out @NeverInTheBackFoot on Instagram and Threads, and @NeverInTheBackFoot on Twitter, now called X, for the latest facts, updates, fresh content, and a lot more that's coming up this cricket season. The podcast is also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, Spotify for Podcasters, and many other platforms. So please do spread the word. Until next time, stay safe and take care, listeners. Bye for now.